If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello there and welcome to another Eurogamer newscast, and we're halfway through the year, so we're taking a look this week at what to look forward to over the rest of 2023. Joining me as ever is Eurogamer's news team. We've got Ed Nightingale.
Hello.
And Victoria Kennedy.
Hello.
Hello. So before the show, I asked you guys to come up with sort of a list of the things that you're most looking forward to over the rest of 2023. There's a lot out there, I know, but we're going to try and whittle it down to our top three of each. I thought it'd be cool to cut around in turn and then maybe from descending order, work up to see what it is that we're most looking forward to.
Ooh.
Ed, do you want to go? I love that you're calling it the show now.
This is a show. What is it?
Welcome to the show. This is the greatest show.
It's a, I don't know, podcast, but we're on video. I hate the word vlogcast or vlog.
We're not vloggers.
No, I mean, we're not anything really, but we're here. We're doing a thing.
Tom Phillips here to really boost the morale of the news team this morning.
I know, we're extremely professional, so going back to the air of professionalism, I can speak. Ed, what is your third most anticipated game for the rest of 2023?
So I'd plan to do this in chronological order of release date, so now I need to rearrange them quickly in my head. There are a couple that didn't make my top three. I mean, there are loads of games I'm looking forward to. I will quickly shout out Stray Gods, which is out next month. Because I love musicals. So a game is a musical I'm very excited about. Also Demon School, which is this kind of Persona-esque indie RPG, looks super cool. All three of mine are RPGs because
I'm shocked.
You surprise me, Mr. Nightingale.
I know. Shock. And the thing is, for me, this is very much a year of RPGs. There are some brilliant ones that have been out already. We've had like Octopath, Final Fantasy 16, Zelda, whatever else. And there are loads more to come, including the big one being Starfield. But that's not in my top three. So my third place one is Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, that was my
now,
two.
I have never played a Baldur's
Spoilers,
Gate game.
Spoilers, Victoria.
Oh, sorry.
I've never played a Baldur's Gate game. I have very recently started Divinity Original Sin 2, just to sort of get into the spirit of it. But I feel like this is going to be a really good entry point. They're making this for people who haven't necessarily played the originals. I am not a massive tabletop fan, just because I haven't done it. I've done it once, but I really like the idea of it. And I really like the ideas that Baldur's Gate are bringing. It seems like there is a huge amount of player choice. You can be whoever you want to be in this world. You can have relationships with whoever you want to have a relationship with in this world. And I'm saying relationship to be polite. Because, hey, it might be a bear. And it looks beautiful.
You can have relationships with bears.
You can. Or less polite things with bears.
So, and we're talking about the animal bears.
Of course. So it just seems like there's so much choice, and it's a real gateway into both Baldur's Gate and like D&D as a whole, which is an area that is just becoming so popular at the moment and I'm more and more interested in. So I think this is going to be a really good gateway into that. And there's a good amount of hype about this game. It's maybe more on the niche side, but I have a feeling it's going to be probably one of the games of the year.
Yeah. You pretty much echoed exactly why I was going to pop it as my number two, because likewise, I've not played any previous Baldur's Gate games, but from what I've seen of this one so far, it looks to be, like you said, a really good entry point, I think quite inclusive for whatever your gaming preferences are. It also visually, I think, looks very, very pretty. Like, I love that kind of fantasy world anyway, but I love the way it's been presented so far. And just everything I've read about it. I mean, I know there was a little bit of discourse maybe around like the sort of 17,000 endings or whatever. I mean, they have since kind of reined that in and said it's more variations rather than anything else. But I just think that's a really, I think it's going to be a really interesting game to experience.
Yes.
So I'm really, really looking forward to that one. And like you, I'm not a tabletop player. I'd like to play D&D, but I don't. I've watched a few like YouTube channels and things, but it's always been a world that I think looks really fun. So I'm excited for that one, definitely.
I'm really interested for it because I play D&D and I am part of that world. You know, I was playing last night and I know a bit about the classes. Well, the classes that I played, I don't pretend to know about all of them. I know some of the geography of that world, some of the rules that you have to get to know about how things work there. And that's, you know, a relatively recent thing. I mean, I say that I've actually been playing since just before the first lockdown in 2020. So at this point, 3+ years. But it seems like a relatively recent thing, certainly something I came to, you know, having played video games for 20 years before that, but I've never played a video game set in that world. And I'm really interested to see how it translates, having had that experience of tabletop gameplay first. And having been to Baldur's Gate, as much as, you know, anyone can go to Baldur's Gate, in D&D. I played a campaign called Descent into Avernus, which starts in Baldur's Gate, and you meet like some of the ruling family that are there and the city guard, and that's sort of where your choose your own adventure style campaign begins.
That's cool.
And it goes to some very different places, but I've already been there in my head at least. So I'm really curious to see how it looks. Like,
that's not how it looks. Sorry, you got this wrong, guys. Larian, this is not Baldur's Gate.
To me, it's sort of in my head, I imagined it like a cross between Minas Tirith and Ankh Morpork. And I'm sort of curious to know what that actually translates to.
So as someone who plays D&D already, are you going to go into Baldur's Gate and then be like, actually I'm going to try like a whole new class or a whole new race? Or are you going to try and be like, well, I just don't know what you play in. I know elves, I'm going to be an elf or a...
That's a really good question. I played 18 months as a rogue and now I'm playing I've played about 12 months as a just under 12 months as a fighter class. I think I want to try something different.
Yeah.
I'm definitely eyeing up some of the mage classes because I am always a mage in
you always go magic, fantasy
game. Like, yeah. Why would you not want to throw fireballs? But in this, there's like 5 different mage classes and I'm like, how do they differ? Which one's best? So I need to do some research, I think, before I select.
I either want to be sneaky like a rogue or I want to be hench like a barbarian. I'm going to have to... Can I be a rogue barbarian? Is that a thing? I don't know.
You can multi-class.
Yeah. I'm either going to go beefy or sly. No in between.
Nice.
I have avoided magic when playing, you know, the pen and paper game because I am a bit of a newbie still to it all, and keeping track of spell slots and things is a lot. So I've always gone for more sort of straightforward, you know, physically... You know, you can see when someone disappears and it's, you don't have to do like maths and things. If you're a rogue or if you're a fighter, it's much more sort of sword based combat. But I think in a video game, yes, you want to be messing around with all the magics and seeing the cool effects. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that one.
But it wasn't one of my top three.
Ooh.
Oh.
Victoria, what was third place for you?
So third place for me is the Tintin game, which I think is still on track for this year, the Cigars of the Pharaoh game, because I am a huge Tintin fan. I even wrote like a French thesis on Tintin and Hergé for my A-levels, and I'm really excited about that game. And I know that it's maybe not one of the big games coming up, but for me, that is, I'm hopeful, going to be just a really good like nostalgic trip back to things I love. So I'm very excited about the Tintin game. And Scars of the Pharaohs, it wasn't my favourite of the Tintin stories, but it's a good story, so I'm looking forward to that one. and having my little Snowy gallivanting around beside me. And Thompson and Thompson, I think that one looks like it could be a lot of fun. And I know you're sort of looking a little bit more sort of query-eyed there, Tom, because of Microds, but they're not the developer, they're only the publisher. So I'm hopeful.
I like the idea of it. I'm down to see a bit more of it soon, actually. But yeah, I have such fond memories of those games. Sorry, of those comics as a growing up. It'll be an interesting one, and as you say, it's an interesting story as well from very early in the canon. So you don't have some of the characters that come into it later, but it sounds like that's sort of what they're aiming for. And if this is a success, maybe they will go on and do some of the more sort of well-known titles.
Mm.
Also, it seems like we're never ever going to get another Tintin film like the Peter Jackson Spielberg plans to do.
Oh, the one with what's his face from Billy Elliot.
Yeah, they were supposed to be doing more, and that doesn't seem to be coming to fruition anytime soon. So.
What was your favorite Tintin comic?
Played a game, seen a film. I know nothing about Tintin apart from he has a dog called Snowy.
He does. In French, it's called Milou.
What was your
favorite comic? Tintin Tibet. Good choice.
Is the first one I read. So I don't know. I think it's possibly a lot to do with it, but either that or it's something very predictable, like Destination Moon, Explorers on the Moon.
My son is a big fan of Destination Moon. Yeah.
Some sad moments in that, but some also really funny moments. Anyway, this is turning into a newscast about Tintin.
Sorry, Ed. You could.
We shall stop acting the goat. That's a Tintin reference. And move on. For me, third place, Super Mario RPG. Yeah, I had a feeling it might be on your list, Ed.
There was also going to be my replacement number two, so I'm going to have to think again.
I never played it on SNES. You know, really difficult to actually find a way to play it. And
well, it wasn't really released physically in Europe on the SNES.
No, really keen to play it for the first time. And I miss that sort of really RPG feel to what I guess Nintendo later took forward into the Paper Mario and Mario and Luigi games, which for my mind became a little bit dumbed down over time. I thought the most recent Paper Mario was all right, but nowhere near up there with Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. And I just miss an era where Nintendo were allowed to make their own new unique characters to exist in the Super Mario world. Like my perfect game, I think, would be to be able to explore the Mushroom Kingdom and go in all the toad houses and speak to them all and get their little side quests and go off and do things. And Super Mario RPG, I hope, scratches some of that itch. Yeah. As well as also being like a massive piece of Nintendo lore that I've never experienced before. And as a Nintendo fan, I feel like I've missed out on. And I want to know what that chap, what's his name? Geno is called. Wasn't it sure if it was Geno or Geno? Yeah, what he's all about.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah, no, I like that it's like original characters as well as, like you say, the Mario world that this finally gives you a chance to explore.
Yeah.
I have wanted to play this game for so long because I love Square Enix's games. I love Nintendo games. This is them together. I actually have it on my Wii because it was available on the Virtual Console, but I started it and then never finished. And I've now lost the sensor bar for my Wii. So I haven't been able to go back and finish it. So finally I get to do that. And it also, we should say, it looks stunning as a remake. Like they've kept the perspective and the sort of character proportions, but just given everything a nice lick of paint, which looks great.
A little bit of polish, which I think looks really nice. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that one. Again, it's one I probably will play through with my kids. They are big fans of Mario, so that game will tick all those boxes for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back around to you, Ed. Now I've stolen Super Mario. Okay, was that your number two?
It was my number two.
Okay.
But I will throw in an extra, which is Lords of the Fallen.
Okay.
Guys, you've got to stop taking my games.
So Lords of the Fallen, I never played the original game of it. I do own it because it was on PS Plus. and it didn't really review that well and wasn't massively well received. But they are now making this new version of it that is essentially a new game with the same name. It is a Souls-like game. It's on the new Unreal Engine, so graphically it looks amazing. To me, it sort of looks very Elden Ringy, but of course, because it's trying to be a Souls game. But in terms of the graphics, it looks really next-gen in a way that Elden Ring wasn't. So I'm really excited about that. It has this sort of dual world that you can alternate between in order to, I guess, solve puzzles and stuff. So, yeah, I think there are a couple of Souls games coming out this year. There's also Lies of P coming out in a couple of months' time.
I'd forgotten about that.
Which also looks decent. The demo was quite fun. But Lords of the Fallen is that kind of dark fantasy kind of vibe that I really like. So I'm hopeful that they've learned from more recent Souls games, learned from the mistakes of the previous game, and sort of wrapping that up into a really, really good Souls-like.
Yeah, I think nice. I remember when that first came out with the trailer, and I remember you saying this is what people wanted Elden Ring to look like. And I remember looking at some of the trailers and it was showing like, the detail and the guy's tunic and things. Like, it does look pretty slick. And then the bit that I'm most interested about for that game is the way that you can flip between, is it the underworld and the overworld or something? Like, it's kind of like a mirror
like a dark
transition.
World,
yeah, which I just thought looked really slick. So it's not necessarily a game that might necessarily... Like I didn't play Elden Ring. That kind of game didn't appeal to me. But when I saw how slick this game looked, it's definitely piqued my interest.
Background to you, Victoria.
Right, okay, I'm going to go Spider-Man 2 then for my number two, because I just think it looks, again, a very slick-looking game, and again, we've got that sort of slick, hopefully, character transition that I just mentioned for Lords of the Fallen, and I'm just quite excited about the fact that, so the most recent trailer they showed, they more or less, without saying, they said that it's going to be Harry Osborn that's Venom, and I think it's going to be quite an interesting new story to tell in that universe. And I'm just looking forward to that. And I replayed the first Spider-Man again recently, and I forgot how much I actually really enjoyed. I mean, I wasn't very good at it. I crashed into a lot of buildings. Well, I say crashed into a lot of buildings. Whenever I was swinging around as Spider-Man, he would automatically have to run up a lot of walls because I have no control over him. But as much as I was bad at it, I also really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to being able to do that again.
Yeah, I'm not really a big Spider-Man or Marvel fan in general, but I really enjoyed the previous two games like that and Miles Morales. And just they really nail that feel of being those characters.
Yeah.
And just the graphics and the quality of the cinematics is brilliant, and the storytelling they do is brilliant. So even for people who don't really like Marvel that much, I think they're still just really great action games that anyone can play.
Yeah, I mean, I quite like Spider-Man. I remember watching like the Tobey Maguire films and things when I was a teenager. I'm not into the big sort of MCU universe that's kind of currently blowing up across the cinemas and things, but I still always quite like going back to those Spider-Man films, and those Spider-Man games had that same kind of adventurous feel for me, so
So
I'm looking forward to that. And I think visually, again, I keep going on about visuals, which I hadn't realized I was so interested in until this conversation, but what they have shown does look, again, very slick. And you know, the way the symbiote seems to be creeping, it's almost visceral, even though it's on a game. Like, I'm quite excited about how they've done this. And I'm curious about the story they want to tell. By they, I mean the developers.
Who's Venom?
I think it's Harry Osborn. And I think they're setting themselves up for a Green Goblin third entry, which will be Norman, Harry's dad. And I think there's going to be like an emotional climax where Peter has to like come face to face with his friend. So we shall see if I'm right or not whenever it releases later in the year.
Sounds like a Spider-Man story.
Tom, what's your number two?
Yeah, this is predictable, but it's Assassin's Creed Mirage. Who would have thought?
Oh, I heard that as your number one.
No. It's definitely up there. For me, as an Assassin's Creed long-term fan, this scratches a lot of itches. It moves the gameplay back from the massive 200-hour action RPG sprawling open world installments that we've had recently to a much more focused city-based experience of the same size as Assassin's Creed Syndicate, I think, was probably the last time we got one of these sized games. And after having played a bunch of those big games, which do last hundreds of hours, it will be a nice palate cleanser to play something that's only 30, 40 hours probably. Oh. Obviously, it goes back to the series roots in terms of sort of thematic setting, the fact that you're playing as a young guy who has a family tragedy happen to him. That seems to be like every single Assassin's Creed protagonist, and sets out on this journey to become an assassin. Not every game you actually become an official assassin these days. Sometimes you're just a pirate or a Viking, and you happen to be using, you know, the hidden blade or whatever. This is, it feels like a proper old school Assassin's Creed story with gameplay to fit that with, you know, more grounded abilities. We're talking smoke bombs over the fact that you can call down the power of Odin and, you know, slow down time, that sort of thing. It looks beautiful. It sort of looks how in your mind's eye you would remember Assassin's Creed 1 to look back in the day. Obviously, it's that Middle Eastern setting, this time centered in Baghdad, which looks beautiful. And it just feels polished from what I've seen of it so far. It feels it was an idea that, you know, we've talked about this before, was originally born out of being a just an expansion pack for Valhalla, and they thought, no, we'll do something a bit bigger with this and we'll turn it into its own game. And it feels like it sort of had the time, hopefully, that it needs to grow into that. And, you know, as the Assassin's Creed series is in something of a pause right now. There's like 7 or 8 games in development, so it's not really paused at all. But in terms of releases, it's now been years since Valhalla came out, and we're not expecting anything else in the next 12 months after Mirage. I like that it can just exist as its own thing, sort of as a love letter to the series, and also a pause before we go towards the future, because there's this big platform and loads of other games coming, and hopefully this can just exist as its own thing in the moment and be really good.
It does. Nice. I like the setting that they are going back to, that sort of more original Assassin's Creed feel, which I think looks very nice.
And actually assassinating people as opposed to just running wild across England as I did as a Viking.
Well, yeah, one of the controversial things of the last few games has been that you don't automatically assassinate people all the time. You know, you have to learn that skill, or learn how to critical assassinate someone, because apparently just stabbing them in the head with a knife hidden up your sleeve no longer is enough. They want you to get into combat and hack away at their health a bit before you can actually, yeah. I think if you're jumping off a building from 5 stories up and you're impaling someone's neck with a knife, that should probably kill them.
I think even without a knife, you probably would, just with the force of the impact.
Yeah. But
I like the fact that in Assassin's Creed, generally, hey is like your best friend for saving a fool. Don't try that in real life, kids.
No.
No, definitely not.
Ed, what is your final game, your most anticipated game of 2023 still to come?
So my number one is out next month, and it's Sea of Stars, which is this retro style RPG. It's from the developers of The Messenger, which was that ninja retro platformer, which was kind of taking inspiration from Ninja Gaiden from the 80s and creating like a sort of new 16-bit or 8-bit and 16-bit sort of new game based on that idea. And this new game is different. It's an RPG, it's a top-down RPG, but it is similarly a love letter to old retro RPGs, specifically Chrono Trigger, Mario RPG, Final Fantasy VI, that kind of SNES era, like golden age of Japanese RPGs. So it looks incredible. It's that top-down pixel retro style, but with so much depth to it, incredible lighting. It's got a sort of golden sun type vibe to it as well. Combat's also really fun. It's got the slightly action-y combat that you have in the Mario RPG series, where you have to press buttons to do extra attacks and defend and things like that. It's also got music from, I think it's the Chrono Trigger composer, so that's going to add that sort of authenticity to it. It just looks, it looks incredible. And for people that love all those old games, it's like all the best bits put together in this new package. And The Messenger was a great game, and it feels like they're going to do the same thing for this. I also love that it's coming out on basically everything. It's on Game Pass, it's on PS Plus now, and there's demos available as well. So I've already played the demo on the Switch, which I loved. So that's also really hyped me up for the full release. And that's next month. So I'm looking forward to that.
I should say, it's not my kind of game, but it looks very, very pretty. Like, yep. The little animations that, whenever I wrote the article about the PS Plus, I was watching the animations and they're just, yeah, like you said, it's quite simple, but with depth still. Like, it's really lovely looking.
I feel like it's the perfect Switch game, but I'm thinking I might actually play it on PS Plus so I can have it on the big screen.
Yeah. And for free. Well, including your subscription.
I mean, that helps, yeah.
Is this the first game that's being released across both subscription services at the same time?
I think so.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Very cool.
Victoria, the time has come. Your top most anticipated game of 2023 still to come.
Well, I have two. One I think is releasing this year. No, I'm just... Okay, fine. I have an honourable mention which I think is releasing this year, which is Plucky Squire. Okay, that's that. Plucky Squire, very excited. Think it's coming this year. My number one, though, is Alan Wake 2. Because it's Alan Wake 2. I mean that speaks for itself, really. I remember the first game. I think I played it on like 360 at my friend's flat with far too much curry in me. And I just remember being so enthralled by like how like psychologically like twisted it all was. And I kind of loved it. Which makes me sound like a very odd person, but I loved it. I remember being very, very scared as well because I was relatively young at the time. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to that sequel. And again, I love the fact they've brought in, the new FBI lady whose name I've forgotten. It's like a month. No, Saga. That's it. Saga Anderson. So I think it's going to be really cool to be able to play sort of two parallel stories. Yeah, that game. Which I'm really excited about it. They've not actually shown all that much, but just the fact that it's a sequel to Alan Wake is enough for me to be excited.
Are you going to be eating curry again?
I mean, I do like curry, so there's a very high chance. I'm quite partial to a good curry and naan bread combination with a nice beer on the side.
Nice. And a video game.
And a video game. I mean, does not that sound like a great night?
That's a great Friday night in.
Yeah.
I haven't played Alan Wake 1. But this sequel has really piqued my interest, and I now really want to go back and play that first. And you've just reminded me that it's on PS Plus this month, but that ends on Monday. So I now need to run and get that downloaded.
Get that sorted.
Yeah, because I'd love to play the original first, because I'm sure that they'll tie together.
Is it the remastered one I'd take on Plus?
I think so, yeah.
So they've changed some of the branding, because the first one had like Duracell batteries or something in it. I can't remember exactly, but yeah. Yeah,
I also really enjoyed Control, and yes. I think that was the first Remedy game I played. So I really enjoyed that, so now I'm intrigued to go and play some of their other ones and see how they compare.
Mm-hmm. Control's great. So Alan Wake 2 will be up there as my top game with an honourable mention to Plucky Squire. So two very different games, but...
I'm also going to do an honourable mention because I realised that none of us have said Starfield, and I am looking forward to it. I'm really curious about it. I think we're all really curious about it, right? We all want to play it. It's on Game Pass. We probably all are going to play it, dip our toes in, and see exactly what there is to see. Again, it's a bit of an unknown quantity. We're fast approaching release at this point, sort of five-ish weeks away, and we haven't played it, but really curious to know and see exactly what it's like. My official top one, again, shouldn't be too much of a surprise. Super Mario Wonder out later this year. You can turn into an elephant. What more do you need? And a really sort of cool looking Super Mario game that moves the 2D series forward, which was much needed. I didn't want to see another new Super Mario Brothers game. And I think Nintendo is smart to have not just put out another one of those, especially in the post Mario Maker era. I think you need to do something really special that only Nintendo can do to move the series forward. And the element of surprise, you know, you can see exactly what Nintendo are going for. They're going for the unexpected moments that get shared on social media and go viral, you know, like random things happening unexpectedly as you're moving through a level. We all have our preconceived notions of what a Mario 2D platformer looks like, and this game hopefully is going to surprise us.
Yeah.
Which I'm really looking forward to.
Do you think, you know how we saw Mario turning into the Mario elephant? Do you think there's going to be like a little cutscene like there was in Odyssey when you first change into, I think it's a frog that you first change into, and you like, it almost like goes into Mario's mind? Do you think we're going to have something like that for Wonder?
I would love to know the Mario elephant lore. It's Nintendo and it's Miyamoto, so it seems unlikely that we'll get it, but you never know.
I mean, they are definitely boosting the animation and the graphics of it, and I love the style that they're going for. It sort of seems to be blending the 2D and 3D worlds a bit, so I don't know how sort of cinematic they're going to make it as a 2D platformer, or if it's kind of very traditional, but just with improved graphics.
It does look a little bit psychedelic, doesn't it?
Yeah, Super Mario LSD.
Yes. Absolutely. Also, speaking of platformers, another honourable mention for me is Sonic Superstars, because it's Sonic. But I'm a little bit worried about it, if I'm honest.
Oh, why?
Because they're pushing it as a co-op game, and I just don't quite see how Sonic can work as co-op, because it's all about going fast. And so I don't want to be held back by three other people. I want to just speed ahead. So I'm a little bit confused on how exactly that's going to work as a platformer.
You get to race each other.
I don't want to do that. I just want to race myself. So, I'm intrigued to see how that's going to work. But,
It's Sonic,
I have
some doubts.
But it's Sonic, so of course I can play.
Right. Thanks, everyone. And thanks for watching if you made it this far. Hopefully that's given you some inspiration for games to play over the rest of this year and why 2023 is actually shaping up to be pretty good in terms of video game releases. We'll be back with you very soon for more video game news. Until then, Ed, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Ed_Knights pretty much everywhere.
And Victoria?
I am at Little Chop Shop Gal, also pretty much everywhere.
And I am at Tom Phillips EG pretty much everywhere. Thanks for watching, listening. See you next time. Bye for now.
Bye. See you then.